This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and I welcome you to our monthly feature, First Friday Focus on the Environment. On this first Friday of August, we're going to explore efforts to increase the renewable energy standard in Michigan. I have two guests today. Donna Lisinski is a Democrat from Scio Township that represents the 52nd District in the Michigan House, and Charlotte Jameson is Government Affairs Director for the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Thanks to both of you for the time today. I do appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having us.
There's a package of bills that have been introduced in the State Senate and State House. The companion measures aim to significantly step up Michigan's commitment to renewable sources of energy over the next 18 years and make more progress on energy efficiency in the state, up to 2% starting in 2021. On the Senate side, Ann Arbor Senator Rebecca Warren is co-sponsor of these bills. And on the House side, our guest, Donna Lisinski, is a co-sponsor. And Representative Lisinski, can you kind of outline the specific goals of the plan?
Absolutely. It's pretty straightforward. What we're looking to do is to increase the percent of energy that the state generates to 50% renewable energy by 2035. And the second set of bills is looking at increasing our energy efficiency standard, so how much energy we work to save per year from 1% to 2%.
But what is the process by which we could actually achieve those goals?
When we're looking at it right now, particularly the 50% renewable energy by 2035, this is a road that we're already on for a number of reasons. When we look at it from the cost perspective, right now, these aren't partisan sources. This is a Wall Street Financial, Lazard sources, looking at the cost of producing energy. Wind energy is now more cost-effective, costs less to produce than coal. And so this is a natural path that our utilities in the state, both our large and our small utilities, have been moving towards more renewable energy in their portfolio. And what we want to do is continue to encourage that.
And Charlotte Jameson, I imagine these proposals are music to your ears.
Yes, very much so. We are hugely supportive. We've done quite a lot of work over the last few years to more recently ensure that Michigan increased its renewable energy standard from 10% to 15% and maintained its 1% energy efficiency standard going forward. These are really, really, really critical proposals that are saving Michiganders money on their utility bills and ensuring that we're cleaning up our air and protecting our public health. And I think continuing on that trajectory and doing even more and audacious goals like the ones that have been laid out in these bills is really important to continuing that transition.
Charlotte, is there anything not contained in these bills that the MLCV would like to have seen?
Yeah, I think there's some work around net metering, which is essentially the program that governs how utility customers are reimbursed for energy they generate at their homes or at their businesses. So if you put solar panels on your roof, how are you reimbursed for that energy that you're generating and putting back on the grid? There's some issues around kind of the a property tax concern where your property taxes could potentially go up if you put solar panels on your roof. And I think that needs some work. There's also continuing to ensure that folks are seeing a fair return on their investment for those sorts of infrastructure improvements on their houses is really important. So I think there's more work around that field that can be done. But these bills are a really important step in the right direction.
And Representative Lisinski, I would imagine that your response is going to be that we will address those, but perhaps in separate measures.
And that's exactly what we're doing, particularly around the property tax issue. I've got a package, a three-bill package that I'm working through right now on a bipartisan basis with some of my Republican colleagues. And we're trying to put together a really sensible package that covers not only solar, but that covers geothermal heating systems and wind. We know, particularly in my district in Western Washtenaw County, where you have larger tracts of land, sometimes my farms are using small wind generators for their use to power their farms. And so with my Republican colleagues, we're putting together a three-bill package we're hoping to introduce when session begins in September.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. We're talking with State Representative Donna Lisinski, a Democrat from Scio Township, and with Charlotte Jameson, the Government Affairs Director for the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Representative Lisinski, aside from the inherent environmental advantages associated with a greater reliance on renewables, there is no way this passes without evidence that it is an economically viable engine for the state of Michigan. How do you view that part of the package?
To me, that's the most exciting part. I'm also Minority Vice Chair of the Energy Committee. And so over the past 6 months, as we've had folks come in and testify, we have had every aspect of the state of Michigan come in and say that they want more renewable energies. We have our business community come in. It provides a competitive advantage for them when they can stamp on their product that this product was made with wind energy. We know one of the largest new businesses that came into the state, Stryker, on the west side of the state, one of their criteria was that the energy that they use, their energy-intensive industry, had to come from renewable sources. So our businesses want this. Our residents, across party lines, across geographies, when the local municipal authorities, little electric generators in towns, survey their residents and say, okay, what's most important to you? The rate, how we make our energy, because we're making it in your backyard. Do you want more coal? Do you want more natural gas? Resoundingly, residents are saying they want their energy from renewable energy sources. So this is really an issue that's a benefit to our consumers, to our businesses, and to our residents. It's something uniformly they're saying is a priority in the state.
And Charlotte Jamieson, will job creation in the green energy sector exceed job loss in the fossil fuels and industry and truly maintain the movement forward?
Yeah, I think so. You know, currently in Michigan, over 80,000 people are employed in the clean energy sector right now, and that's just with the standards that we have in place. I think if we really ramp those up, we would see a much larger increase in not only job creation, but also the amount of money that's being brought into the state. You know, over nearly $3 billion have been invested in the state just to meet our 10% renewable energy standard. So I think we'll continue that trajectory. And then, you know, there is a lot of work that needs to be done around coal plant retirements and ensuring that the folks who are currently working at those coal plants are retrained and provided new opportunities. And I think both consumers and DTE have shown a real interest in trying to think through that process well. And we're looking forward to partnering with them to continue to make sure that those employees are taken care of going forward.
And Donna Lisinski, is it a barrier that the very low price of natural gas may keep this from quickly moving forward on more renewable energy initiatives?
It's a barrier when you look at new coal generation. It's not a barrier when you look at renewable. So one of the things that is interesting to grasp is that with renewable energy, there is no fuel cost. So there's a cost to build a natural gas plant, and there's a cost to build a wind turbine, and there's a cost to build a solar farm. But once you've built the wind turbine, once you've built the solar farm, there's no fuel cost. There's no fuel surcharge on your bill. So when you are looking at a natural gas plant, its cost to build, it has a continuing high cost of fuel when you compare it to a zero cost of fuel for wind or solar.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. It is First Friday Focus on the Environment, and our guests are State Representative Donna Lisinski and Charlotte Jamieson, the Government Affairs Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. These proposals come at a rather interesting time in our history. The White House has pulled the U.S. from the Paris Accord, ordered the EPA Museum to start taking down its exhibitions on climate change and replace them with features on the benefits of coal. Assuming that for at least the next 3 years plus, that is going to be the direction at the federal level, Donna Lisinski, does it make it more difficult to win such provisions at the state level?
I really don't think so, because what we're looking at, the number one priority for our businesses and for our consumers, is the lowest rate of electricity provided in the most sustainable way. Again, across the board, folks want to be breathing clean air and supporting our state and our clean water. It's part of who we are. So when we're looking just at the hard numbers, when we're looking at the Wall Street numbers, at the financiers' numbers, at who's going to allow you to put forth bonds to build new construction, when they're looking at the cost, coal cannot compete with renewable energy with wind right now. It is across the board. So what we're seeing over and over is the difference between sometimes rhetoric and reality. And when you're making a strong business decision to satisfy your rate-paying customers, our utilities are looking at their portfolio and saying what makes sense going forward is renewable energy.
And Charlotte, how do we overcome the NIMBY issue when it comes to wind? The not in my backyard. Everybody loves the idea of wind and wants the infrastructure built for more wind. Nobody wants it in their community or neighborhood.
Yeah, I would say, you know, wind generation is actually a really critical tax base for a lot of rural communities, and they realize that when these wind farms go in, that there is really an economic driver, tax incentive to have these there in their backyards. And so I think the more that that message gets out and the more that folks realize that some of the concerns around noise and these other issues, flicker, are not really as much as they have been made out to be, they've been kind of the the subject of a bit of a scapegoating, I think we'll see more acceptance. And there are many communities in Michigan, I would say sort of mid-Michigan and those sorts of areas, that are interested in wind and that want to see this economic boon come to their community. So I think the more we kind of work with the community and make sure that they understand the benefits of what's coming into their neighborhoods, I think we'll see some real traction there.
And Representative Lisinski, you kind of touched on these items, but our utilities are indeed increasing development and use of renewable energies. They're also lobbying hard to maintain control of the energy grid and limit such things as rooftop solar systems in our residential communities. How do you view the current positioning by DTE and Consumers Energy? Partners, adversaries, a bit of both?
I think they're good negotiating partners. I think like most things,
define that for me.
Yeah, I think like most things, they have a set of shareholders that they need to satisfy, but they can't satisfy those shareholders without satisfying their ratepayers. And right now, I think there is a high level of interest and knowledge in our energy sources among ratepayers, and ratepayers have been vocal about the rates that they're paying and about the sources of those energy, the sources of energy that are coming forward. When you look at the net metering, the issue that Charlotte brought up, where if you have a rooftop solar and you're making energy, and then sometimes you're making more than you can use and it feeds back into the grid. What we're really looking at there is the idea of the grid has to be there unless you totally disconnect. So what is the fair price that we put on that standby grid there, being willing to give you energy when you're not making it and take it back when you're making too much, and making sure that we're not subsidizing it, that those of us who don't have rooftop solar panels yet aren't paying for that grid that you're using. So really, it's a negotiation. There is a fair price, and I think Consumers and DTE will be a good negotiating partner in determining what that price is, with us at the Michigan Public Service Commission looking out for the ratepayer.
And Charlotte Jamison, your job is to advocate for these positions throughout the state, including in the offices of our elected state senators and representatives. Are you seeing the kind of bipartisan support necessary in a Republican-led legislature to actually get these measures to the floor, let alone to a vote?
You know, I think when we talk about this from, as Donna has been doing, from a economic perspective and from a ratepayer perspective, what's going to save Michigan ratepayers on their utility bills, then you really do see traction on both sides of the aisle. And I look back at the vote in 2016 to increase our renewable energy standard to 15%, to maintain our 1% energy efficiency standard going forward, and that achieved overwhelming bipartisan support in both the House and Senate. So these really are bipartisan proposals. You know, I think the question of how far you go and how much you push to that transition that we all know we need to get to, is where you maybe sort of see some differences of opinion. But I think when it comes down to what is best for saving Michiganders money, and what is best for cleaning up our air, you really do see sort of traction on both sides of the aisle.
And Representative Lisinski, is there a timeline on getting these measures to a vote?
Well, right now in the Energy Committee, we've spent the last 4 months educating ourselves. There's only, on a 20-member committee, there's only 3 members who were there for the 2016 energy bill. And so we're looking at taking up bills come this fall. Chairman Glenn sets the agenda for the committee, and so I'll be working with him to see if we can bring this forward for testimony.
And best guess from both of you, Charlotte Jamison, is this going to pass? Are we going to have a new renewable energy standard?
You know, I think we're on a trajectory to hit our 15% renewable energy standard by 2021, so we're going to continue to work towards that. These bills would build off of that, so starting 2021, building going forward. I don't know that we'll see any real passage of a significant energy legislation this session, but I do think that, you know, as we near that 2021 point, there will be another conversation around where are we going with renewable energy, and I'm hopeful that, again, we will look to increase our renewable energy standard.
And Representative Lisinski, will these pass, at least as written?
Right now, that's what we have to see. You know, the in Lansing right now, since we just passed a major energy bill, what these bills do is they restart the conversation on where we need to look over the next 2 to 4 years. So will there be any major energy legislation passed in the next 12 months? That's what we're sorting out right now, because we haven't seen the impact of the bills yet that we just passed. They just went into effect April 1st. And so it's one of those areas where we're moving the line, we're moving the benchmark. We're going to continue to work to get there. But as a new legislator, what I know is Lansing can be very slow and very quick at the same time. And so I'm finding predictions very hard to make.
Understandable. I thank you both for your time today, and we'll be following along. And when the occasion presents itself, we'll revisit the issue.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
That is Democratic State Representative Donna Lisinski of Scio Township and Charlotte Jameson, the Government Affairs Director at the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. We've been discussing companion bills in the State House and Senate that would increase the renewable energy standard in Michigan to 50% by the year 2035. To find out more, visit our webpage at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and I thank you for listening to this month's edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. This is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.